Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today are Ellie Maitland and Joe Griffin, two of the raconteurs behind the team that brings us the Death Scribe Horror Radio Plays competition every year. Welcome, my people.
Hey.
Hello, I've never been a raconteur before. That's fantastic.
I've been a raccoon. Those are close, right?
Yes.
But same. Only when the moon is full.
Yes.
Right. Same genus, different subspecies.
There you go. Hi, Summer. It's great to be back on the show.
Thanks for having
us. Awesome. Well, Joe is the musical director for the team that provides the ambient tension in the sounds behind the radio plays. And Ellie is the Foley director and, I'm going to say, conductor of the horror space in your ear holes. How's
Ooh,
that?
I like that. Yeah, that sounds sounds ominous.
That's intriguing.
Yes.
Well, Ellie provides the Foley, which is performed live during Death Scribe when people see and hear and experience the radio plays as they are performed in their...
Sometimes even smell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, man. One of the reasons why we always have vomit at the end of the program is because no one wants to smell soup for the rest of the show.
Ew. I had no idea you went to the smell stage. That is awesome.
And not intentionally, but right. Yeah, it totally happens.
It's not a design choice, but Ellie's right. When you upend a couple of cans of soup...
under hot stage lights.
Yeah.
Oh.
Someone at least by the third row is going to be going,
yeah.
Is that clam chowder?
So you could say we're a little bit method.
Yes.
Just
exactly.
a tiny bit. So when you're...
If we do an exorcism script this year, you should definitely use the split pea soup.
Oh, why haven't we gotten any exorcism scripts yet? Oh, if anyone's listening and looking for inspiration, you heard it here first. We want you to help us spin some heads and spew some pea soup.
We need our exorcise.
Yes.
Oh, really? You went there?
Oh, we live there.
I was talking about Joe's joke about exercise.
Yeah, you know, if it weren't for puns, Ellie and I wouldn't have anything to talk about.
We'll both be great dads one day.
Oh, jeez. Well, Death Scribe 11 is underway with submissions open till July 31st. And if you are a dabbler or a connoisseur of horror, especially in the performed areas, this is your chance to get your 10-minute radio play submitted. Because, as I said, they're still looking for an exorcism story. So you've got a few weeks left to submit that. You can find details at their website, wildclawtheater.com/deathscribe. All of these submission requirements are there. But basically, it's a 10-minute radio play designed to evoke your own imagination about what's going on. And I have been a fan of this since the early days. I believe the first Death Scribe that I encountered might have been 3 or 4. I don't recall.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That predates me.
Yeah. My first at the Foley table was Death Scribe 4, so we might be contemporaries when it comes to the Death Scribe scene.
Possibly.
I've seen every single one of them and always known that I wanted in on that piece of action. But it wasn't until the year that we did Alabama Mermaid that I started really getting my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. And that's always, to this day, is one of my absolute favorite pieces that's ever been done.
That's an extraordinary piece. It really is.
Yeah, and anyone that hasn't heard it, you can hear archives of most of our Death Scribe recordings via our SoundCloud, which is linked to our website, too. The thing that makes that one in particular stand out to me is the fact that it's a musical. And It's really tragic horror, too. There's some really beautiful and evocative things going on with the soundscape that I don't think we had ever really done before as far as, like, changes in perspective. Like, when the protagonist dives into the deep to try to parley with the mermaids to get her son back, the sound of the water around her is full of whispers and wobbly crystal goblets, and as well as, you know, traditional... pretty straightforward, like splashing and water sounds. So there's just a lot of really imaginative things going on with the soundscape that really I think, pushed us forward as far as what we wanted Death Scribe to be doing. And all of that is thanks to the playwright and the director that we had attached to those to that piece, Jessica Wright Buha and Carolyn Herdeman.
Wow, definitely going to have to go check out the older ones. I think the first time I talked to anybody about Death Scribe might have been 8 or 9, but I remember hearing about it before then and have been delighted to be, I guess, focused on what's happening next every year. I just look forward to saying, okay, when are Death Scribe submissions open? Okay, when can I bug them about talking about Death Scribe this year? okay, when?
I'd love to hear that, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's so much fun because I'm a big fan of horror, and hearing different ways to portray horror other than what for the longest time had just been splatter movies and splatter stories. I mean, horror is meant to be psychological. Horror is meant to take the tiniest little thread, the tiniest little nugget, and cause your own imagination to eat itself.
Yes.
In trying to scare you. And having these radio plays and some of the, not just the inventiveness of the stories, but the way you guys blend music and sound effects to enhance that feeling is just, every year it blows me away.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear. That's super gratifying. Thank you, Summer.
I think one of the strengths of the festival is the variety of submissions that we get, because we get something like Alabama Mermaid, we get something like Monstrous, which is a much more straightforward horror piece that we performed this past year. So we get to play in a whole bunch of different approaches, because we really do get quite a variety of submissions. We get, you know, here's a monster story set on a submarine. Here's something out in the woods with two kids that find a mysterious creature. You know, there are all sorts of options and all sorts of opportunities to make all sorts of really cool noises, but also to tell stories that aren't just the same zombie film or slasher film or whatever over and over again.
I totally agree with that. One of my favorite things about the festival from even before I joined the company was I was really impressed with the full complement of an evening that they would put together. They always had all these different subgenres of horror represented. So there would be psychological horror, and there would be like that big monster epic story, or there would be a little bit of splatter or a little bit of creepy crawly. And so there was really something for everyone. And it always tickles me most. Like, it makes me feel like we really did our job when audience members after the show are vehemently disagreeing about which one should have won the Bloody Axe for that year. Like, if it's a lock on one, it's a little bit like, oh, I want all the other ones to get their love, because it's so hard to pick favorites, and there's always some sort of new ambitious challenge design wise and also as far as like exploring the responsibilities and the opportunities for horror storytelling that each piece we select gives us.
Cool.
And I also like that it's kind of a time capsule every year. We kind of get an idea, an overview of the different things that everyone in our community are thinking about, because horror is so deeply personal. And like, you can't not put part of yourself into a story when you're trying to say, this is scary.
Right.
Because if you don't believe it, your audience won't either.
Yeah, now, last year, you guys did something different. You actually took Death Scribe on the road.
Yeah, we had a couple of adventures over the past couple of years, and we're hoping to have more in the future, too.
It's true. We've been to Miami. We've been to Kansas City, Missouri.
Was it Missouri or was it Kansas?
I think it was Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track. We stopped in one and performed in the other. Barbecue was great both places, though.
Right, yeah. Right.
We had Victory Barbecue.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've performed a couple of we've performed Death Scribe material at not Death Scribe events in Chicago as well.
And also in Evanston. One of the best opportunities I think that we had as far as additional outreach to the horror community and the world of horror audio drama this year is we were invited to perform as the opening act for the No Sleep podcast when they were on their national tour.
Wow.
And they stopped in Evanston, and we did a couple of our favorite pieces before they launched into their full show. And they were so nice, and they're just really wonderful people, in addition to being like immensely talented storytellers. And it's really cool to know that they're lifting up other representatives in smaller parts of the pond than they are. Because I know that in addition to Wild Claw, they also had guest artists with them in on one of their stops in Texas with the Sirenicide team. And they had the This Is Horror podcast, I think, open for them when they were in Minneapolis. So they're just really giving with their time and their community, as well as helping us broaden the conversation of what is horror and who is it for? Because the answer is everybody. No questions asked. Everybody gets scared of things. And everyone should get to explore that and figure out how to share that with other people and make themselves braver in the process.
How was the Death Scribe performances or the performances you've done outside of Chicago received? Because I talk to people a lot and they say, oh, yeah, horror on stage done as a radio play. And they look at me like, what? That exists?
Sure.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like there's getting to be more of more opportunities and more familiarity with it because of the way podcasting has just like exploded over the past couple of years. And there are more podcasts that are doing live shows too. There are not necessarily so many that are audio drama, but like I have seen My Favorite Murder when they've toured a couple of times. And for those of you who might not know, that's a talk show with two comedians that talk about famous murders from solved or unsolved in history. And they're just fascinated and really funny people too. So they've got a really big community behind them. Also, Hello from the Magic Tavern is a Chicago born podcast that is an improv based in a fantastical world that's set up as a talk show. So there's elements of fantasy and story attached to this talk show. So it kind of blends the two ideas together. So I think people are more open to the idea of radio or podcasts on stage, and they might still not necessarily understand what that means unless they knew Prairie Home Companion when they were little. But I think it's more doors are open to us than there have been in the past.
When we were down in Miami, we did five nights, mm-hmm. I think, and you could kind of tell from the crowds that people had shown up kind of wondering what it was they were about to get into. And about halfway through the first piece, we would kind of feel everybody just kind of go, oh, all right, I see what's going on here. Okay, I can get on board with this. And the audience is really, really were very receptive and very kind, and I would like to think had a great time.
I would like to think so, too, because the many of the performances that I've heard after the fact, and every now and then I get to sneak peek the scripts beforehand when I'm talking so I can talk to the directors and the writers to promote the show later so I know what I'm talking about. Some of those have just been amazing stories and things you wouldn't actually consider. Oh, I never thought to take that kind of story in a horror direction. So when you guys come across that, have you as yet run across something where you said, huh, how am I going to do that?
Oh, every time. There's always something that makes me go, I don't know how to do this. Not only from a design standpoint or an execution standpoint, but one of my favorite opportunities that Death Scribe has given us so far was a piece we did 3 or 4 years ago at this point called Bad Things Happen Here.
Oh yeah.
Because it was so ambitious about the, not only the way it was written and the casting was prescribed, because it was, it started out as two little old ladies, and then the same actors playing those ladies were instructed to become the soldiers that were part of a dirty war that, and for me, none of the sound effects were written in to the original script. So Joe and I had a lot of, what does this mean? How could it mean? Why is this?
Yeah.
To figure out between each, amongst ourselves, but also when I first read that script. Very often when you're going through the submissions, you are looking for, is this radio drama? Is this good for whatever that means to each individual person or each individual audience member? And also, is this scary? And that is one of the first ones that I've ever really fought for in programming, where I didn't know if it was radio drama, but more importantly, I didn't know why it wasn't. And that was why I wanted us to try to figure it out as a company and as an artistic body, because it seemed like something that we should really have more responsibility towards if we want to be front runners and like really leaders in this conversation.
It was so interesting putting that piece together, because a lot of the scripts that are written as radio dramas and written deliberately as radio dramas, you can tell what at least the concrete things are that you're going to be doing. There's a door slam here, there's footsteps here, someone gets their throat torn out here, or it's raining, or there's a music, you know, there's a radio playing or something. This had nothing, and the script was so abstract that we initially had nothing to hang our hats on as far as that's concerned. And so we really had to go in and do a lot of text analysis and a lot of talking with the director to find what to do. And it was a cool challenge. And I think that what we came up with was really quite nice.
And we had a great director attached to it, as we always do, Melanie Keller, who works around town also with an eye towards devised work. So I think it was in the best possible set of hands.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was terrific to work with.
Now, have other companies or other Foley directors, artists come to you and say, hey, give me some suggestions on what to look for when we're putting on this particular show?
That is one of the greatest compliments I get every once in a while. I can't say it's regularly, because that's not the case. Which, in all fairness, this is kind of still an obscure medium to be working in, but I do really love it when people reach out to me looking for advice. I recently had a director referred to me from somewhere in Wisconsin who wanted advice on how to generate the sounds of a pinball machine on stage in an immersive way for the audience to feel like they were inside the machine.
Wow.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So every once in a while. Oh, and you've talked before with one of our family friends, Joe Zettelmeyer. Mm-hmm. He has also done some staging with his home company of his own desk scribe pieces, or pieces written in that style. And when his Foley artist was first getting familiar with the hows and the whats of his stories, she reached out to me, and we had a really long conversation about the hows, the practical ways of accomplishing some of the sounds, as well as like ideas about how to make it more like stagecraft oriented for giving the audience things to watch in addition to listen to. So that was really, I was really flattered by that.
Cool. Yeah. I still get the heebie-jeebies just thinking about earwigs from a couple of years ago.
I love it.
I just think earwigs, and my skin like all up along my back just crawls. I'm like, yeah, there they are again.
Mm-hmm. Bugs and body horror are a big part of our business model.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one something about they're made of teeth, or what was it?
Oh, that one.
It was, wow, something about the teeth, and just there was
the one with the carnival guy that came to town.
Too many teeth.
That's
right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And so it's just amazing to me, and fun, a lot of fun work, because you have these people squeezing this creative, destructive energy into 10 minutes. And doing it as a performance piece rather than a short story or a novella. And just, like I said, the variety of stories that appear. And I really, really wish you guys had the ability to, you know, do a top 10. It's like, these are our five finalists, but here, take a listen. Just have them on tape someplace and say, yeah, have a listen to our runner-ups. And just because some of the stories are so fascinating. Yeah. I want more. Is that greedy of me?
It's not. We love it. We love it. And to be honest, I want more, too. I'm always going to be excited for people that want to play with us. I'm always going to be excited for more opportunities for us to do this kind of programming. And you actually touched on something that's really near and dear to me when you said that it's fun, because sometimes people will be concerned about whether or not the Foley work on stage can lessen the impact of the stories from a horror standpoint. And I would say that the biggest thing is, like, just because something is fun doesn't necessarily mean that it's funny, because it's just a different way for people to get emotionally involved in something that may even ultimately surprise them with, like, how attached they are to these characters. Like, I did a production of some scripts of The Shadow for another theater company a couple of years ago. And one of the villains was a strangler who would strangle people and then come back for their pets, because that was just the way they wrote things back then.
Wow.
But so I've got this parrot that is being created through squawking and the sound of a fluttering umbrella for the flapping of its wings. And so when the villain comes back and wrings the parrot's neck and you see me twisting this umbrella and then dropping it to the ground, people in the audience gasped. There were people saying, oh, no, about the death of this umbrella. And they had just met it a couple of minutes ago, but they were already that invested in it, because people love to anthropomorphize things and people love to connect. And that's one of the greatest strengths of doing this on stage with an audience that can share these experiences together.
Yeah, I actually, as a youngster, remember listening to replays of the original Shadow broadcasts.
Yeah.
And if somebody could bring those back, or at least, you know, release them, and I think they are released on CD or something, but
there's a bunch of companies that that remaster and release old-time radio. In fact, that was a job I used to have back in the 90s. I worked on a syndicated radio program called When Radio Was, and we restored a bunch of old radio programs for the Smithsonian. So they're out there. You can find them. There's a bunch of different companies. There's a lot of weird questions about who owns the rights to all that stuff.
And that's tricky.
The company that I worked for was really diligent about tracking down, you know, because this is from 60, 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone who acted in them is dead, or, you know, the company that owned it has been sold 6 times or whatever. But we were really diligent about tracking down who the rights owners were and negotiating some sort of agreement to release the Jack Benny program or The Shadow or Fibber McGee and Molly or The Cinnamon Bear or any of those. So, yes, absolutely. You can go out there. I encourage anyone listening to go seek out some of this old time stuff, because the art form has changed, but this is where a lot of it originated. And there's a lot of really good stuff, some good storytelling, some fantastic acting, and some groundbreaking sound effects work.
Absolutely.
Because those guys were originating it. They were making it up from scratch. They were, well, we can't put an entire freight train in the recording studio. How are we going to do this?
Yeah, and a lot of them were broadcast live, because I remember, like, the old Superman radio serials were like that. They were live at the time originally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that's, yep, everything comes back around eventually, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you figure out the what of the story, and the why becomes more interesting. And I think that's part of anyone that's been working in the arts for a concerted amount of time. You start getting more curious about the choices that your colleagues are making, and it makes you take more ownership over the way that stories affect you and how you want to communicate them to your audience.
Now, I don't know if you can actually say right now, since you're still taking submissions for this year's Death Scribe, but in the past, you guys have had submissions from international writers. How have you seen the international audience respond to the programs that you put online?
Oh, I will always dream of the day when I can say that I'm very big in Australia. I do see us getting some traction as far as like our social media interactions these days with larger and larger groups from outside of America, which is also really exciting to me. So I'm really hoping that we will get more from across all of the ponds for Deskribe 11. We got submissions last year, a bunch from England. We got some from Australia. We got some from Nigeria. We've gotten a couple from Scandinavia. I'm just really excited for the different ways that we can be reaching people, and they can also be part of our conversation.
Question. If you had the funding and the opportunity, would you guys perform Deskribe in London?
100%. I know some really lovely people over there. The Audio Drama Production Podcast is produced out of there. I had a great conversation with Sarah Golding, who's one of their main interviewers back in March. And she was integral to putting on some live audio drama at the Vault Festival this year. Everyone should check it out if they're not familiar with the festival. They're lovely people, and I want to play with them.
Cool.
Not to mention, there are other really cool people doing similar work right now. Anyone that's listened to Wooden Overcoats, which is a great sitcom set in a very tiny, obscure, fictional town in England, where two rival undertakers are
rivaling.
Yes. they do live shows periodically. I'm also really geeked out these days on The Unseen Hour, which is a horror comedy anthology show that has monthly performances that they then podcast after the fact. And they do guest spots with monologists, and they have bands play. And so it's another just really fun riff on what Wildclaw and Deskribe do. So there's more of this kind of work out there, and the more people that love it and contribute to it, the better we're all going to be.
In no particular order, I'd like to perform in London, Edinburgh, Toronto, and where else?
Tokyo.
Tokyo would be good.
It would.
Tokyo would be cool.
Deskribe Honolulu is still just a matter of days.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. So tell everyone where they can submit their Deskribe submissions. Encourage them. Give people who are on the fence a pep talk right now about submitting to this year's Deskribe.
Absolutely. Wildclaw Theater wants your stories. We want you to scare us. And you can do that by going to wildclawtheater.com/Deskribe. That's where you can find all the information about submitting to the festival. If you're curious about what we've done in the past and you aren't familiar with us, you can also click on a link at our website to go to the archives, to our SoundCloud page, and listen to previous Deskribe competitors. And I'll say again that we have had seasoned playwrights in the competition. We have had first-time writers win the Bloody Axe. So it's really anyone's game. The important thing is that you're excited about sharing a story of what scares you. And we love every single submission we get. We are so excited for anyone that wants to be part of the conversation, because horror is the most universal of all story types, of all genres, because everyone's scared of something, and we should talk about that, and we should make each other better and braver people, and hopefully have some fun along the way, because the reason why we tell these stories in the dark, in a crowd, in a theater, is because it is a joyous way of celebrating what makes us all human or inhuman.
Excellent. Well, Ellie Maitland, Joe Griffin, like I said, the creative raconteurs behind the sounds and scares of the performances you can hear and see in person at Deskribe 11. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much for having us back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
When is the actual Deskribe performance?
It's the first Monday in December. I think that's December 4th. December 3rd.
Is it at the main line again?
We were at the main stage a couple of years ago. The past couple of years we've been at Lincoln Hall, which is Oh, it's a gorgeous venue. It's really one of the coolest concert venues in Chicago. And it's funny because, like, most touring musicians are the ones that are like, oh, that's a really good get when we talk to them about it, because they don't do a lot of stuff with theaters, which makes us even more special.
Lincoln Hall is located at 2424 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago.
And when the time comes, you can buy your tickets for Death Scribe 11. One of these years, I will get to Chicago. I will overcome my fear of intense cold and get up there in December to check out a performance. It could be this year. I'm still not out of the realm of possibilities.
Summer doesn't like cold, the very idea.
We occasionally have mild early winters here. So.
It's true. Oh, and what a wonderful excuse to face your fears.
See, there you go.
That's right.
If we can get a submission about the cold.
There you go.
Frostbite, parts falling off. Well, again, Joe, Ellie, thank you for your time. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Just talking about the Death Scribe competition gets me happier and happier every year. Just talking to those folks, just finding out more and more about everything they do to put on a new Death Scribe every year. And last year with them taking it on the road, oh my goodness, so much. I really need to get to Chicago and see one of these in person. I have a standing invitation. One of these days I'll take them up on it. Have to do something about, saving up for a travel fund. We'll see how that goes. If you have visited the sliceofscifi.com website since the 4th of July, you may have noticed it looks different. Yes, I finally got a new layout, one that's more mobile friendly than the previous version, and finally got around to getting it switched over to HTTPS, which Google mandated must happen July 2018, or else we will drop you from our Google rankings, and thus you will have no visitors. No, seriously, that's what it sounded like. Their messages sounded like. But the site is switched over. If you find anything hinky with it, let me know. Send me an email. Leave me a voicemail. For reviews, we got more TV reviews, more DVD reviews, more, I shouldn't say DVD, Blu-ray. Everything's Blu-ray and 4K these days. A couple more giveaways coming up. Starting July 10th, you can enter to win a copy of the Blu-ray of A Quiet Place. So keep an eye out on the website for that. Follow the instructions. Open to U.S. residents only, unfortunately. That's Paramount rules, not mine. So still enjoying Reverie. Still adoring Cloak and Dagger. If you guys aren't watching those shows, you can catch up. Both of them, actually. You can catch up on both of them on Hulu. And well worth watching. My reviews for those should be going up relatively soon. Keep an eye out for some more interviews from the Reverie crew. And I'm hoping to get some from the Cloak and Dagger team as well. And, of course, we have more folks coming up in the indie horror, indie sci-fi, and just general speculative fiction entertainment realms that I think you might like. So keep an ear out here for those. But for now, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail or send an email to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. And your questions, your comments, we will answer them. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Krypton Radio, and yeah, hopefully by next week, Google Play also. Hopefully. Don't know how long it takes, but we're working on it. If you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes or on Stitcher, please leave us a review. Every review helps, lets people know that people are enjoying the show and maybe they want to check it out for themselves as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can follow us on YouTube and on Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And of course, the aforementioned spiffy new updated website, sliceofsci-fi.com. We also have writersafterdark.com. Keep an eye out for more interviews and more reviews over there. Hopefully, depending on when you're seeing this, you should see a brand new interview with Joe Lansdale and his daughter Casey about their new book, Terror is Our Business, the Dana Roberts Casebook. I think I got the title right. But yeah, Terror is Our Business is the important part. It's a collection of novellas and stories about super normal investigator Dana Roberts. And it's a hoot. It really is. Again, that is over at writersafterdark.com. I'd like to thank everyone who is supporting all the shows, all the websites, all the media technical support that goes into presenting these websites and shows to you. Your donations through PayPal and your patronage through Patreon is greatly, greatly appreciated. If you want to help support things around here, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. I'd also like to send a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for the musical accompaniment you hear on the show. They did an awesome job, and I will never stop loving them for it. So, there. If you want to hear more geeky rock and roll compositions from them, you can check out their website over at sci-fried.com, or you can search for them on YouTube and check out some of their really cool videos. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.